Love you,
Bobby. Blog Talk Radio.
That was amazing, and that was we're taking turns picking out the intro music. We thought we'd mix things up a little bit, and so that was dance selection. That was pretty energetic and pretty fabulous. So who was that by, Dan?
Hey everybody, can you hear me here? I didn't know if I was on mute before. Excellent.
Well,
that was by pianist and producer named Kat Supaneski. And Katrina Supaneski, I'll put her link for her website in the chat. She's from the Philadelphia area. She's was born in Europe and moved here. Great composer. I've been a fan of hers for a little while. And you know, as amazing as the world is now, and as amazing as social media is, we've actually become kind of friendly and actually collaborated on a couple of projects together. And I was very, very excited. That was a live performance by her that I found that I thought would go really well. But she's an amazing composer, I think. Reminds me of like a George Winston, Liz Story, if you know his type of stuff. Has a lot of great music out there, and definitely check her out. I thought it was very inspiring. It was very energetic, like you said, and I thought it would go perfect with this title. So thanks, Kat, for letting us play your song. She gave us permission to do that. And, Bobby, I'm so glad to be back. It's been a while. I missed you.
I tell you, you were just down for the count. You know, we thought you had, we're getting ready to motor up to Boston and say Kaddish over you, which I don't know if you understand the reference. But is the Jewish prayer for the departed? You know, it's like Jesus. You know, you were in a bad way, my friend. I'm so glad to hear you were doing better. You know, I tell you though, but Pam held the fort down for the 2 weeks you were gone. I cannot thank her enough. But it just wasn't the same without my co-pilot. I tell you,
I appreciate it, Bobby. I missed you guys. It was craziness. It was just to summarize real quick. I asked for a new coat for Christmas, and instead I got COVID. That's what my family gave me for Christmas. So all three of us ended up being sick.
Check the spelling on that next. But check the spelling on that.
Yeah, instead of coat, it was COVID. Exactly right. Anyway, so I didn't have a bad. We had a couple of days I was really sick, but it lingered and it was just stuck in me. And at the same time, work was completely out of control. I mean, I worked 18 days straight. I was working 12-hour days. Then I had to go to Colorado for work, and I slept. You know, I was in Colorado for a week and slept literally like 2 hours a night. I made it through. It was fine. But when we came home. We came home to negative 35 degree weather here in Boston, and I have a very old house, with kind of pipes sometimes on the outside. I gotta try to spend some money on it. So I was literally up all night long, every hour or so, turning the water on and checking it out. So I was kind of going on like 48 hours of being straight, and I really wanted to come on the show. This is my big long.
Yeah.
Introduction to, I really wanted to come on the show, but literally I was like passing out, and I'm like, I'm done. Like, I need to go to bed.
You know,
so.
I think we've all had our episodes of that. And I understand completely because, and COVID's tough to calculate because I got it in October, November of 2019 and before knew what would, Yeah, before they knew what they were looking for, I was sick all during December, which is my baking month. So I made no Christmas gifts that year, and then I was scheduled to go to a retreat in February, which I went on, not knowing how sick I really was, and then all 2020, I was sidelined, completely, totally sidelined. I did nothing. I was in a vegetative state, and I didn't start getting energy back until June of 2021, and unfortunately, it just messed with my metabolism, messed with my resistance, messed with everything, and so now unfortunately, the medical profession is getting smart, and now they've come up with something called post-COVID therapy.
Yeah.
So they're helping folks with long-term COVID trying to come back from these things. So anyway.
Yeah, everybody, it hits everyone differently. You know, I was sick for a couple of days, but then it just kind of lingered and I had all work. So it was crazy. Both my brother-in-laws ended up in the hospital. One of them passed out and had to be dragged. Yeah. Everybody hits crazy. But anyway, we are here and we have a couple of guest stars. So we have Gray Eyes Smith. Gray is in the background there. He is running the he's running the show in the background for us.
And I
absolutely thank him. I love Gray, of course. And oh, hey Gray, great to see you, Gray.
Yeah.
And Passion's Promise is on the board, just hanging out. So can't stay, just checking in. So.
Okay. Does Passion's Promise have a piece in our contest? Because if that's the case, then we need to front load that and get that rolling up first, especially since I want all of you folks out there to mark your calendars. We have no carryovers. However.
See, I'm blaming me because I wasn't on the last show, so I must be the one holding up the boat here. So,
I wasn't. Say that, but you know, all indicators point to it. No, seriously though, but it all of a sudden, I've realized that our contest is sort of like one of those parties where nobody wants to show up first, but everybody shows up stylish last. Because beginning in the morning, we had like I think 12 or 14 entries, and the contest closed itself because we ended up with 19 entries. So all of a sudden, everyone smacks themselves in the head with the heel of their hand and their forehead and says, "Oh my God, tonight's exploring and phrases. I better get to pull them in their, you know, on their board." It's like, and it was like this headlong rush today to get like half a dozen poems into our contest, and it closed itself. I thought maybe the expiration date was, but I realized that we had 19 pieces. I was like, "Oh my goodness."
And I'm going to correct myself. I'm going to correct myself. I thought Gray's in the background, but Gray is on the show with us, so he's going to stay and participate in all that, which is great.
Yeah.
And Phil is in the background as well, too. I don't know if she's joining, but she might come on, but Phil is on the board. So we got a party going here. I think we should get it started. So tell us about this contest.
Yes, and I already have started my cocktail hour, so I have a nice, healthy buzz going. Our contest for tonight is actually, and I have to do a shout-out to Amy Mundell. She was the one that suggested this artist that we went with, who is Andrew Scott, a very simple, very black and white, almost graphite drawings with a little splash of red in each one. And that is his stylized. That he explains, and I took when I can find the artist speaking about themselves, I really love that, because that's what I that's why when you see about the artist by the artist, it's the artist writing about themselves. That's a deliberate style thing with him. He does gritty graphites and does a little red burst in each one. And anyone who has studied art will tell you that is a deliberate design calculation by the artist, because that's where they want your eye to fall first. I had the art curator of the Marine Corps Museum teach me that, bless his heart. So these are very simple graphite drawings, but they say so much, and they're very positive. And they were just enough. Just enough to fill up a contest and with titles. And so I laid them out there. And again, I want to thank A.R. Mundell for the suggestion. She thought that these would be nice for a contest, and she's absolutely right. So here we go. And let's open it up.
Yeah, let's do it. No, it's a great contest. The pictures are fantastic. Thank you, Amy. All right, so Gray and I are here, but ladies first, Chivalry is not dead, so I posted one for you, Bobby, if you want to read it. It's on the board.
Woo-hoo! Sure. Let me find myself to my inbox. I've got two, as is my want, I have too many tabs open. So here we go. Okay, we have Hands of Time by After the Fire. And that's, I think that's from the first prompt. And it's... So we have, we can't hold back the hands of time, no matter how we try. Excuse me. It still keeps moving forward. There's nothing we can do. From birth till we are in our prime, and then until we die, we find we have no time to spare. We're all just passing through. As we make our plans, the clock ticks on to wilt our hopes and dreams, the future that we see so bright, then morphs into yesterday's. Before we know it, time is gone. With all our plans and schemes, the sunny sky transforms to night. Time suffers no delays. End poem.
Excellent read. And anybody who's on the board or listening in, if you look at the picture is interesting to this, I think, because it is a kind of like a giant clock face on the ground, and a man, you would think the way he's doing it is pushing it and turning time, but the way a clock actually works, he's actually trying to hold it back or push it backwards.
Yes, yes.
Which I think is very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's a very subtle.
And
there's a very subtle illustration.
Yep, absolutely. So hence the first line, we can't hold back the hands of time. And I've mentioned it before, I'm obsessed with time. It's something that I would want to really, really, really understand, and I can't. I don't know if anybody's really, you know, I've heard an actual explanation. I know we've talked about it before, but for me to just kind of grasp, you know, a million years in the future and before, and how kind of, you know, what I just said 2 seconds ago is now gone. It's just it's an amazing concept to me. But I really enjoyed this. I think it was really, really talking about that, how, you know, before we know it, time is gone. With all our plans and schemes, the sunny sky transforms to night. Time suffers no delays. I always quote my favorite poet and musician, Neil Peart, from the band Rush, and he says, he talks about time a lot of things. But one of my favorite lines, it says, "Each moment a memory in flight." And I always love that line from him. And I think this kind of talks about that, how we're all just passing through. We really are. We're kind of always moving, always forward. So I thought this was really great by After the Fire, and really, really delved into the, you know, the mystery of time. So thank you, After. Great, great job. Let's go with Gray. Gray, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, you did a beautiful read on that, Bobby. But I really liked the poem, you know. Very visceral, very engaging, emotive. You know, you can feel the time slip by as you read this. And, you know, you realize that you are always moving forward and that the past is the past instantly. So just a wonderful write on the subject of time passing.
Yeah, absolutely, Gray. I think so. Beautiful. And you did an awesome job, Bobby. What did you think when you were reading it?
Thank you. Well, this is a very subtle rhyming scheme that to tell a familiar story of the very human tendency to resist linear time. And we think we have some grasp of time, but I even wrote a piece called it the persistent delusion. Time is an artificiality. That because we have three dimensions that we have a control over, up, down, back, forth, and to and fro, but we have the fourth dimension, which is time, which we are caught in the flow of it. We have absolutely no control. He, in this piece, which, like I said, a very subtle rhyming scheme, time, tried, do, prime, through, on, day of yesterday's gone, delays, very a bright night, very nice. And he's alternated in the four stanzas, so it's a lovely brevity, very artfully done. I mean, this is a delicate piece. It shows a lot of very skill, and it's very well crafted, and it's good storytelling, and it has a deep philosophical content to it. Basically tells us that we are at the whim of time. And before we know it, time is gone. With all our plans and schemes, the sunny skies transform to night. Time suffers no delays. And the words, he's absolutely right. And it's a very uncomplicated, very simple, but very eloquent piece. I really like it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a beautiful piece. You know, this website never ceases to amaze me. I've been here a couple of years now. I've been writing for a couple of years, and the amount of talent on here is really amazing. So I do want to welcome Amy to the board, Amy Aramundel. Bobby thanked you earlier for the inspiration for this contest, so thank you very much. Amy, let me know if you're going to be around for a while, because we'll make sure we get your piece on while you're here.
Oh, absolutely.
But thanks. Thanks for being on the board. Yeah. Oh, thanks for.
I get to read it.
You get to. I will make sure you get to read it. Absolutely.
I call dibs on Amy's piece.
Yep, you always like reading Amy's. Absolutely, you do. Cool. But let's rock on here. So,
yeah.
Gray, I'm going to put one up for you by Hall of Mindfulness. Gray, I don't know if you're on mute or not.
I'm sorry. Yes, I was. I apologize. I had somebody at the door.
No worries.
Okay. So this is called. Beyond the Carpet, and there's a SoundCloud, so I will play that.
Oh, there is a SoundCloud. All right. So you're off the hook. The next one you read. That's right. There is a SoundCloud.
Beyond the Carpet. Being in nature, loving and appreciating each breath, each step, each smile, every sight, every sound, every smell, every taste, every touch and feeling. Bask in the glory of each and every experience. Aware of mind, thinking, dangling its carrots of something more, if only its lead is followed, into the future, into the past. aware but not drawn in, no judgment, simply noticing thoughts, like everything else, come and go, ebb and flow, impermanence on show. Yet when called on in creativity, thoughts are another sense to wonder at, to honour. Truly live life, see beyond the carrot, and love the life you live. End of poem. Sam Hall, Hall of Mindfulness.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Samantha, for that. And great, awesome catch with the SoundCloud. You earned your salary for tonight, which is nothing, I'm sorry to say. But great job catching that. Great, great save. I really appreciate that. Bobby, ladies, let's go ladies first again and start with you. What did you think?
I enjoyed this piece. I think it's when I looked at the piece, when I posted the image, I looked at it and I thought, I wonder what someone's going to see in it. It was one of those ones that I knew something complex was going to come out of this. Because here we've got a unicorn, which technically, if you know anything about symbology, a unicorn is a symbol of freedom, which is why you will never, ever, 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 and I say it several times with it for emphasis, you will never see a unicorn portrayed as a carousel a character. You'll never see a unicorn on a carousel because they are unfettered. They are a symbol of freedom. And yet here you have a unicorn which not only has a carrot on the end of its horn, but it also has a bridle, which I thought was a very interesting complexity.
Bobby, did we lose you? Oh, you disappeared for a second.
Here I am. That's the unicorn thing. I've got that leprechaun thing going. But it's interesting. Aware of mind, thinking, dangling its carrots of something more, if only its lead is followed into the future, into the past, aware but not drawn. No judgment, simply noticing thoughts like everything else come and go. And there's a call here for a lack of judgment here, which is interesting. The piece is looking at the freedom of the unicorn in terms of its freedom from being judgmental. It sees everything in equanimity. Everything is the same to him or it. But I still, like I said, if you know anything about your symbology, there's a lot of things at work in this particular symbol or in this particular image with the bridle and the carrot on the unicorn's horn. And those are symbols of they're signs of bondage, of being bound, of being in servitude. And yet here's an animal whose freedom is in its thinking. And that's where the poet has taken it, which I thought was wonderfully creative take on the prompt. I commend the poet for seeing this in depth, very clever, very cerebral draw on the prompt.
Yeah, absolutely, and the picture's beautiful. I love it. It's interestingly titled "The Workhorse." But yeah, fantastic, great. Gray, what's your thoughts? Gray, I don't know if Gray is still here with us.
I am. I was muted. I apologize. But no, that was okay. A wonderful write and read as well. You did a wonderful job reading it. But, you know, I thought the poem was powerful in its philosophical view of living life beyond the dangling carrot, which is fantastic. So excellent take on the prompt.
Absolutely, absolutely. I really, really enjoyed it, and it is very philosophical, and I think I do think that's what the artist had in mind. It's really the end that just got me, that sums it up beautifully, that Samantha did. Truly live life, see beyond the carrot. I'm actually inspired by that line to almost create an entire contest based on that phrase of see beyond the carrot. You know, how much do we do that? I was talking this earlier in the show about how January was really tough for me just because I was working. I mean, I literally worked like 18 days straight, and it was like 12-hour days, and it was craziness. And, you know, how much of our lives do we do that? Do we just work, and then we're doing laundry, we're doing these things, and this is the stuff that we're, you know, that's the carrot kind of dangling of all the things we have to do, but can we see, you know, to get our work done, but can we see beyond that, what's to the horizon? And I think she really, really touches that throughout here, bask in the glory of each and every experience, aware of mind, thinking. So beautifully written to express that, and a very great SoundCloud. So thank you very much, Samantha. And I think we have a guest star. Who do we have?
We do. We have Naomi.
Wow, a guest star. I feel special. Hi, y'all. How are you tonight?
Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, Naomi. Great to have you.
Yeah.
Great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Naomi, did you get to hear or read the poem?
No, sorry. I was like having trouble a bit with my earphones, and no, sorry. I'll go back and read it. Sounded
wonderful.
Oh,
no worries. No worries.
I just heard a bit of your last comment.
Oh, no worries. No worries at all. great. Yeah, and Amy on the board said, really love the use of repetition. Adds well to the workforce, everyday jobs type theme. Great poem. Excellent, Amy. Thank you for that. All right, cool. So we will move on. We'll go to the next one. And, Gray, you're still up to read, but I actually have another SoundCloud before you do that, which would be for Scott Sharps. So if we could play that SoundCloud, that would be great.
The time has come. There will come a time the clock will stop discharging us like a cuckoo bird into a realm where God no longer controls us, where instead he is our puppet, a place where we can make him dance. A world turns upside down like an umbrella fills with water, blossoming new, more productive thoughts. It is here imagination will fly with a child's fears, his hands in the air, living the life of a shadow, or crumpled up like a paper airplane. Grab hold of the hands of time, push backwards with all your might. Keep night from coming as a child stands in the puddle with a toy boat smiling, not even seeing the 2-ton anchor hanging from it, from his neck. The boy pulls up in his plastic car, stopped by the police for failing to signal, in a signal of failure to see God in his eyes. The police pull their guns. The home begins to shake. Pictures on the wall rattle in their frames and crack. Childhood seems so long ago. The cage exists to hold him. Someone set him free. A bird in a bird feeder attached to an axe, a guillotine. It seems kids can water anything, even death, an old rotten stump, and something will grow from it. Turning the picture sideways, off kilter, trying to make it seem right, but like a rat whose own tail is the very snake that eats it, things still remain askew. Flowers continue to grow from the axe handle that cuts down the tree of life.
Thank you, Scott, as always. We love Scott. He does a ton of contests for late night here. And This just shows the inspiration that this contest really did. Great testament to Amy for the suggestion and to Bobby for putting it together. And I will say that because Scott usually does brevities from what I've seen. And this is a longer one from him. He even says in his author's notes, the poem was inspired by prompts 1 through 14 in order. I ended there in order to keep the poem at a reasonable length. So he was just extremely inspired by this one. So thanks, Scott. Naomi, as our newest guest, let's start with you.
Yeah, you know, this is amazing, you know, the way he delved right into those prompts. You know, I just love the, you know, how he talks about, you know, how time, how we have no control over it. And, you know, and then he goes into the imagination of being caged. You know, I just love the cage exists to hold and someone set him free, a bird and a bird feeder attached to an axe, a guillotine. And, you know, it works so well, all that he laid it out so well, the ideas that he got from the prompts, they flow so well into one another. And, you know, just the last one there, turning the picture sideways, off kilter, trying to make it seem right, but like a rat whose own tail is the very snake that eats it, things still remain askew. Flowers continue to grow from the axe handle that cuts down the tree of life. Just a I thought this was really powerful all throughout. Very philosophical, you know, in its meaning and it's what it's saying, and just amazing. Very well blended together, these lines, these stanzas. So great job, Scott, indeed.
Absolutely, Naomi, I agree. There was some anger to this too, I think, and even with the way Scott was reading it, I could feel some anger, and I think he was getting from the pictures. That's the why he was kind of putting together was just, you know, kind of maybe a controlling about life. There's like a little bit of a theme he put here of a controlling and a how time controls us about and different aspects of that. I can see within the poem, so I like that he had that kind of. That common theme, and you read it like that too. Gray, what did you think when you were listening to this?
Yeah, he did wonderful on his SoundCloud. Excellent emotive read. But, you know, the poem definitely evokes those thoughts of being imprisoned by time and by life. And, you know, but I really like the ending where it says, flowers continue to grow from the axe handle that cuts down the tree of life. I mean, that's deep. Deep.
Yeah, that's I agree. I'm with you on that, Gray. That's the part that got me. And Amy on the board said her favorite was, a world turns upside down like an umbrella fills with water. And that is a great line as well, too. Thank you, Amy. Bobby, you are up. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to remember who did this. I think Amy did this with our last contest. She did a pastiche. Of all the prompts and wove it together so skillfully into an entire story. And I have to give her kudos because there were a hell of a lot more prompts on that contest than there were on this one. I simply stopped where I did because that's all I had. That's all he had generated in terms of pieces of work. But I do admire anyone who looks at the body of work of the prompts in its entirety and is able to construct a story out of the collage of different and many of them very disparate. But it's interesting because there's a similarity here because you're looking, it's like you're looking through the eyes of the artist because the artist sees things the same way, and you are looking through the artist's eyes. You're viewing all of their work, and you're pulling it together, in a pastiche and building a story that you're through your interpretation of what they're seeing. And that is so complex. I mean, you can't get more credit than that. This is, and I agree with you. I do detect a note of anger. Or anger, or desperation, or frustration. The home begins to shake. Pictures on the wall rattle in their frames, and cracked childhood seems so long ago. The cage exists to hold him. Someone set him free. A bird in a bird feeder, attached to an axe, a guillotine. The different points of view, the way he's taken the different illustrations and given them the different viewpoints, different perspectives, is just tremendous. And you're right, he normally does cleave to brevities, and he's departed from that habit for us. And I feel truly honored that he has generated such a tremendous piece of work for our contest. This is really an admirable piece of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he went out. He had a couple cups of coffee before he wrote this one. That's for sure. So, excellent comments, everybody. Thank you. I'm going to go a little bit out of order here, so Gray and Naomi will get you to read shortly. But I want to make sure we get to Amy's before she has to leave, and we have requests and things for Bobby to read this one. So Bobby, I'm going to put Amy's up on the board here, if you can give that a read, and then we'll get to Gray and Naomi to read as well. So it is up, called Snagged.
Okay. I call it, yeah, Dealer's Choice. Dealer's
Choice.
Yeah,
no problem.
Okay, we have Snagged. My happy little task was caught upon a passing cloud. It wasn't very obvious, and it wasn't very loud. Yet all for naught. The string wound taut, entwined within its fluff. The whitish shade turned gray and gray till static fizzed and fabric swayed. I pulled and tugged, but twine sat snug, marooned upon its locks. Fingers gripped the fraying end, waiting for the cloud to bend. But lightning licked, electric kicked, the storm was there to stay. No choice now but to abscond, to leave it there within its fronds. Walked away. To this day, the job remains unsnared. And show, but never to be done, graveyard of those tasks once fun, gathering mold in cloudy hold, which has held me far too long. And home.
Awesome job, Bobby, as always. You're a great reader. I want to start with Gray this time, if we can. Gray, you have thoughts on this?
I really enjoyed it. You know, it seems like, you know, she captured the prompt quite beautifully and brought it to life with her descriptive write. All for naught, the string wound taut, entwined within its fluff. The whitest shade turned gray and gray, till static fizzed and fabric swayed. I pulled and tugged, but twine sat snug, marooned upon its locks. You know, we all kind of get lost in our chores sometimes, and sometimes they get away from us. So I thought it was just a wonderful poem. And beautifully read, Bobby.
Absolutely great. Thank you on that. Yeah, it's a very interesting picture. So Bobby said earlier that he usually has a little touch of gray, red, or a little touch of color in his poems. He actually has two in this. So it's a little boy sitting there with a red sweater, and he's flying a kite, and wrapped around a cloud is the kite, and the kite's kind of hanging there, and the kite is red, as well as the string from the kite as well, too. So you're kind of connecting the little boy with the sweater and the kite together. Which is very, very, very interesting, and I thought her poem held that together really, really, really well, and the ending says it, right, gathering mold in the cloudy hold, which has held me far too long. So it really kind of talks about how we can you know, we can be obsessed with things, and we can just, you know, things can hold us together where maybe we need to, you know, walk away. But yeah, beautifully written. I really like the feel of this. The flow is fantastic. Just the composition of it was great. Naomi, your thoughts?
Oh, my gracious, Amy's writing. Oh, you know, it's just so amazing every time I read her. You know, that part, that gray red there, oh, wow. You know, the imagery in it, everything that was in it, you know, the rhyme, the flow, just the rhythm of the whole piece, that, you know, that comes so wonderfully together. That last stanza that you read, Daniel, and, you know, she has the line in here, you know, on the show, but never to be done, graveyard of those tasks once fun. And, you know, you have that picture of the little boy flying a kite. So, you know, the graveyard of those tasks once fun, you know, they like kind of giving up your childhood dreams here, your childhood playfulness, or just your adult ones too. You know, what once was fun, because you're overtaking, like Gray said, by all this work and chores and, you know, tasks that have to be done every day, and you forget to have that fun. So, and I think she illustrates it through metaphor and wonderful imagery. So amazingly well in this poem. It's just magnifico. So wonderfully done, Amy.
Thanks, Naomi. Yeah. Amy's an amazing writer. I always enjoy. Very excited when she's on any of the shows. Bobby, who is never for a loss of words, Bobby, I'm sure you're formulating all kinds of thoughts over here.
Hamana. I love the way she structured it. It's just very compact. I like the very short, punchy stanzas. Very nice. The rhythm of it, the cadence, is delicious to read it, because it changes a little bit from stanza to stanza. And I like that. We've got tugged and snug, shade gray suede, not taut, but you've got the internal rhyme going in there, but it's not, you know, it's not hallmarkish. It's very subtle. Great storytelling. I mean, she's taken this simple illustration, and she has constructed a beautiful story. I pulled and tugged, but twine sat snug, marooned upon its locks. Fingers gripped the fraying ends, waiting for the cloud to bend. But lightning licked, electric kicked. The storm was there to stay. No choice now but to abscond, to leave it there with its front. And I don't know, I was big into flying kites when I was a kid, as we had a lot of open space behind my house. And so I was always out there flying kites, but I knew I had friends that didn't have that luxury of all that open area, and very often they would get their kites snared in trees. And once a tree has eaten your kite, it's like the whole Charlie Brown and the kite eating tree, trying to free the kite from the tree is just, it feels like it's an exercise in futility. And it's almost like a small microcosm of a life lesson that once it's happened, you feel like you've come against something that you can't overcome. It's walked away to this day, the job remains ensnared. You can't get the cut out of the tree, or out of the cloud. But this is just her interpretation of the prompt, and the storytelling is just a superb piece of writing here. I couldn't have enjoyed reading it more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the composition was great. My only memory of a kite was I was in this field like one time. I was probably like 6, 7 years old, and I let go of it by mistake. I was chasing it, and it was a bunch of like, I don't know how old they were, probably teenagers there, and I remember yelling as a little kid, please stop the kite, please, please. And they just stood there staring at me, and it blew right by them. And so I'm still in therapy. I'm still in therapy for that right now. So I don't think I have a flew a kite. I don't think I ever flew a kite. It's literally my only memory of a kite. But
yeah. No, I was the kite I had out there. I ended out on so much string. I actually had tied two balls of string together, and it was way, way up there.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful fun.
Yeah, no, kites are a good kite flying is a fun thing. I see them every once in a while. I'm like, wow, how did I get that thing so far up there? And I see them. I see them even around the city here where I live every once in a while. Cool. All right, thank you very much, Amy, for a great write. All right, finally, I've been promising Gray he could read a poem for like an hour and a half now. So finally, we're going to get one up here for Gray. And there we go. This is called The Grape Thief, if you can read this for us, Gray.
Sure, absolutely. This is by Dark Knight of the Soul. Nigel was the self-elected grape picker of the family and plucked away to heart's delight. Concord, Muscadine, Limburger. Two in the basket, two down his throat. Nigel liked to sing off key and would see what others couldn't. Neptune, Red Candace, Vanessa, sucked down so fast he'd nearly choke. Nigel draws outside the lines. The sky is emerald, his sea salmon pink. Thompson seedless is a treat when you don't think like other boys think. Nigel forged his own path when he reached outside the frame. A thief of grapes who bends the rules an outsider society would try to tame. For his mom and dad, he grasps cotton candy, ripe and green. I see an awful lot of Nigel in me. End poem.
Great job. Thank you, Gray. Thank you very much. Great job, Dark Knight of the Soul. This one looks like a silver in another contest. And it's an interesting picture because it's a picture of just a little, it's very simple, like Bobby said, on this little boy on a ladder picking grapes, but the grapes he's picking is actually from the frame of the picture. So a little bit of like a 3D, you know, third dimensional, you know, the two-dimensional person outside, the two-dimensional character picking something from the actual frame that the picture's in, which is which is really interesting. It makes it not as much to do with the poem, but it makes me think of a simpler time. I have these pictures of my grandfather's farm with my aunts and uncles where they had blueberries and they used to pick them, and that's just a lost art form in the Boston suburbs area here. I'm sure in rural places, you know, kids are still doing that, but it's kind of like a little bit of a, you know, lost simplicity when you're a little kid to be able to kind of go do things like that, and that was your highlight of your day. And I think that's what I got out of this with that last line. I see an awful lot of Nigel in me where he's almost like reminiscing towards that simpler times. Great job, Dark Knight. Naomi, I'm dying to hear your thoughts. I'd like to know.
Yeah, well, I can be wrong, but I think he writes about Nigel a lot. He's become a character in his poetry. Dark Knight of the Soul does. This seems like a little boy, a character who, you know, isn't scared of being, you know, himself. Like he says, you know, he draws outside the lines. His sky, that's wonderful line there, draws outside the lines. His sky is emerald, his sea salmon pink. Thompson seedless is a treat when you don't think like little boy, like other boys think. He forges his own path when he reached outside the frame. So I love how this, you know, I don't know if he modified it or he went back and rewrote it, but it so fits the prompt so well. You know, the Thompson, the seedless grapes, those green grapes there. And, you know, the little boy reaching up, you know, to reach beyond the frame there. So I think he really captured the prompt so wonderfully in this, right? And, you know, just you know, being able to sing that those differences that belong inside of everyone, and to embrace the differences, and to be able to draw outside the lines, and, you know, think for yourself and not follow like a pack of sheep, and just be yourself. And I think that's what he's saying in this poem. So great write. I really, really enjoyed this. Bravo, Dark Night of the Soul.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, and I'm not overly familiar with this stuff, so if you've got more about the poem character, I'm definitely get it. Naomi, what did I call you? I'm sorry. Naomi. Thank you for thank you for that. If he has more on this character, I'm definitely wanna check that out. So I just wanted to read something from Amy real quick back on her poem she wrote in the chat. She said thank you to everybody. She appreciated the comments. She said her most vivid memory of kite flying is once her uncle took me with a big stunt kite. Dad got it up in the air and then handed it to me, but she was so tiny, she actually took across the entire field being dragged like a big dog. And I actually remember at times being a little kid being blown over by the wind and things like that. So I hope you survived that. I hope you didn't have too many injuries, Amy, being dragged across the field by a kite. But, I guess the danger of little kids. But excellent, Naomi. Thank you very much for the comment. And let's go to Gray.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the write, you know. It was fantastic to read it. But, you know, I thought he captured the prompt quite beautifully and brought it to life with Nigel as the character. And I like Nigel. He's a rebel. He's an independent spirit. And he loves life. So it's good to have a lot of, you know, feel like Nigel inside. So wonderful, right?
Thank you, Gray. And that leaves us with Bobby.
I was charmed by how this artist was able to, in some of his pieces, deliberately incorporated the frame as part of the artwork, which I thought was a very clever approach. He's done that with several of the pieces on there, and this one I thought was charming. And I like the way that that Dark Night of the Soul. This is a absolutely charming interpretation of the prompt. And how he tells a wonderfully whimsical storytelling of how the little Nigel decides just to treat himself to the grapes, and he's as Naomi said, he's bold and free enough to feel he can be his own person, and I thought that was absolutely delightful, The way he's done that is that Nigel draws outside the lines. His sky is emerald. His sea, salmon pink. Thompson Seedless is a treat when you don't think like other boys think. And he points out the individuality of the child in his whimsical storytelling. I think the writer charmingly embodies himself in the character of the small boy, taking joy in simply being himself. A wonderful piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Thinking outside the box and painting outside the painting. That's what we're doing here. So, excellent, excellent. All right, we are going to move on with life here. And Naomi, it is your turn. I'm putting one up for you, if that's okay, by Way Down Upon Joy. Naomi, did we lose you?
Oh, no, I'm on mute. Sorry. Because I'm mute. I was disbehaving.
Okay.
Let's see. Where is the pay? Where is Late Night Poets? Okay, there, I got it. Okay. Silent Solicitor. Okay. Bye, Way Down Upon Joy. The unknown man that moves my hand oft leaves a supple trace. while mindfulness with thoughts hard pressed seek out new breathing space. When worldly scenes and men of means can't move devotion's worth, it seems that man that can't be seen promotes true virgin birth. On measured notes, on staffs once wrote, resound dimensions range. Now, dreamlike grasp, take life to task for soulful interchange. End poem.
Great read. Thank you, Naomi. You are forgiven for your for muting. That was a fantastic read you made up for that.
Thank you.
But yeah, this is great. This is, again, you know, it's probably said up 1,000 times on shows, just a great example, in my opinion, pure poetry, where I think she's taking science, I think probably more philosophy, and putting it in. And the picture, those who aren't following along with the pictures, is kind of like a it's a man, it's like a puppet, but the puppet is controlling the, like, the puppeteer. They have the little X with the strings on it, seems to be controlling like a human hand. And you know, it's very interesting, and to me it really brings, I'm thinking way too much about it, but it's bringing the whole note of free will versus fate, and I think that's what we're saying here. So the unknown man moves my hand, oft leaves a subtle trace, while mindfulness with thoughts hard-pressed seek out new breathing space. The rhyming, first of all, was fantastic on this as well, too. And it seems that man can't be seen promotes the virgin birth. Unmeasured notes on Stassen's wrote, resound dimensions range. So it's, you know, he's obviously talking about God, but is there a purpose? And again, you can scientifically or philosophically, you go towards that age-old, is free will, are we all free will, or is every single thing that's happening pre-denounced? Is there a plan, whether scientifically or spiritually? And it's that is always a very interesting debate. And I think that interplay of in the picture where the puppet is kind of controlling a human as opposed to the other way around really talks about that. Anyway, that's what I got out of this a lot. I'm always impressed when there is a lot in a brevity like this. And Joy did a fantastic job doing that. So thank you. Thank you very much, Joy. And let's see. Actually, Bobby, let's start with you this time.
Oh, honey, I'm moving around within my. Oh, here we go. I was on another tab for a moment here. Yes, I thought this was interesting that the juxtaposition of the puppet being the puppet master to the human hand, there is a lot being said in this brevity, very complex, very layered piece. Waytown Upon Joy does some. Their work is usually pretty complex, and the unknown man that moves my hand oft leaves a subtle trace, while mindfulness with thoughts hard pressed seek out new breathing space. I do like the cadence of this. The rhyming scheme gives it an almost classical feel. It almost smacks of like Wordsworth or Longfellow in its construction and the language and the message. But it's a very cerebral piece. Like I said, it's very for its brevity. It's very dense, very layered, very complex, and so very much to be admired. Because to pack that kind of philosophy into just a handful of lines is never easy.
Yeah, I agree. And I really like the juxtaposition of, you know, religion and so philosophy, science, which
yes.
is never
yes.
in your face on this. It's just, it's all kind of, it's brilliantly
oh, yes.
put as
it's also
it's kind of
it's
subtle.
Just, Mm-hmm.
And to me, they're all, go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's elegant. It's elegant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not in your face. It's just, it's all subtle. And those juxtapositions, I think, always work together, because to me, it's the same thing. You know, philosophy, even religion, but I always consider science, you know, if you want to, you know, I consider science the study of the universe, and to me that's almost like a religion to me, because you're studying, you know, you're trying to figure out the truth is what you're trying to do. So I think scientific is philosophical too. It's just the search for the truth, which is what all of that is, and the juxtapositions of those things here are fantastic. So is the more I read this, the more I'm finding little things in it. Thank you, Joey, with that. Let's jump over to Naomi. Naomi, what do you think?
And I'll unmute myself. Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said, but you know, I just love that first sentence. The unknown man that moves my hand oft leaves a subtle trace, while mindfulness with thoughts hard press seek out new breathing space. Wow, you know that the person, you know, it's as if you're moved by society, what you have to do in life. Les exigences, I don't know what that is in English. Oh my gracious! What life demands of you, the life's demands, you know, and to meet them, and you know, you're moved by that, and you're hard pressed by all those things that you have to do, and yeah, you do seek out breathing space. So wonderfully, wonderfully done. So well written, and bravo.
Excellent, Naomi. Thank you. And yeah, we got lots of interesting kite stories going on the chat here about poor little kids being taken away. So I think it's a thing that happens here. Great. Let's bring you back down to earth from the kites and see if we can get a comment on here for you.
Yeah, okay. But I really enjoyed the write. I really enjoyed the write, and Naomi did a wonderful job of reading it. But, you know, to me it speaks of religion, you know. The unknown man that moves my hand, that would be, in my opinion, the higher power of, you know, a higher spirit than ourselves. And it leaves a subtle trace. But, you know, and then it's really engaging. I mean, it's deep, it's such a brevity, but it's so powerfully written that it is very deep and thought-provoking. Unmeasured notes on staff once wrote, resound dimensions range. Now dreamlike grasp takes life to task for soulful interchange. Yeah, just a beautiful crafting of a write on the prompt. So well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. Absolutely. I agree. All right. We are an hour in, and I have not had the pleasure of reading it, believe it or not. So I'm going to take the opportunity to do that, and I'm going to post one on by Fabrice. One of my favorites, which I guess I say about everybody, but I do like Fabrice's work. So this is called Tell Me, Sir. Excuse me. Tell me, sir, what is a poem? A little girl asked me, watering a stump. Downpours smoothing their lengthy braids. The sky knocking at my curtains. An apple tree lone in a field, like a cage open to the wind. Face pretty sad, weary or gloom, of a pallid and icy moon. A flock of birds in liberty, a smell, a sea, a cry, a key. Through the poem under my eyes, I did not know what to reply. Shadowy ruse, sunshine tricker. How could I know better than her? If a poem grows wings or roots, or travels the world fields on foot. and poem. Very, very interesting. I'd like to start with Naomi, if I could.
Yeah, I love this, you know, how he goes into describing what is a poem. You know, ask me, watering a stump, downpours smoothing their lengthy braids, the sky knocking at my curtains, an apple tree lone in a tree like a cage open to the wind, face pretty sad, weary or gloom, of plavid and icy moon, a flock of birds in liberty, a smell, a sea, a cry, a key. You know, what is a poem? He says, if a poem grows wings or roots or travels the world field on foot. I love how he finishes that out. Yeah, what is a poem? You know, and I think he leaves it wide open for us, you know. He really leaves it like what a poem is. It's you know, what he says. You know, it's all of what he says. And then a key to, and he has a question mark there, a key. So a key to so much more, you know. Great right here by Fabrice.
Absolutely. And from what I've known of Fabrice's work, he's a very, very deep thinker. There's a lot going in there. He's a very educated person. And I thought this was interesting. So it is literally what the poem is saying. It's just a stump and a girl with a pot with a watering can. The watering can looks red. And she's watering it, and the water seems to kind of just disappear. It's kind of gone. And, you know, if the person's asking that, what is a poem? And you know, I think Fabrice does a great job in putting some, I don't want to say cliche, but kind of standard, you know, poetry lines, you know, or lines you would see, right? An apple tree in a lone field, like a cage open to the wind. Face pretty sad, weary gloom of a pallid and icy moon. So some great imagery, some great metaphors that he puts there, but what can we call a poem is, you know, like he says there, how could I know better than her? The poem grows wings or roots or travels world fields on foot. So, you know, is a poem these metaphors, is there a specific thing, or is it the poetry of this young girl just watering a stump, a dead tree? Is that poetry? Is that just the expression of, you know, is the picture itself poetry of, you know, an expression of a young girl trying to bring something that's dead back to life and it's not doing that. So is that poetry itself? You know, how can we tell out of that? So who knows better, the poet or a young girl trying to do this? I think it's a really, really interesting thought, Fabrice. Again, I'm inspired. I'm going to have to put all kinds of contests up now. I'm getting very inspired tonight. So excellent, excellent. Greg, love to know your thoughts. Oh, Gray got dropped, I think, unless he's back. I'll give him 3 seconds. One, two. Oh, he's not here. So let's go to Bobby then, and we'll see if Gray comes back in a little bit.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I wanted to make mention earlier, and it, of course, tumbled out of my head. But our first reading, A Hands of Time, by After the Fire, also took that piece and submitted it to another contest and as a pre-write and got a bronze.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so I wanted to recognize the fact that they wrote something for our contest and saw fit to lend it to another contest and got an award for it. So I think that's marvelous. I feel vicariously proud. So my children are getting awards. No, I'm pleased that people will draw inspiration from what we're doing and are able to seed it out into other areas and take what they're writing for us and able to adapt it to other contests. So I always think it's marvelous when they can do that and we can inspire them that way. So Fabrice, I always did enjoy his writing. He's very classical, and I think in this case, this is an interesting the way he's approached this particular prompt, and I think I suspect, and this is me just this is speculation purely, but I think he selected this prompt more in in the terms of its title than its subject matter, because the title is Hope, and I think he sees I'm getting a message that for anything, what is a poem? A little girl asked me, watering a stump, a sky knocking at my curtains, an apple tree alone in a field, like a cage open to the wind, face pretty sad, weary. That art, that anything is open to interpretation from the viewer, from the eye of the beholder. The pallid and icy moon, a flock of birds in liberty, a smell, a sea, a cry, a key. It's all where you see beauty, where you see poetry. Do you see poetry? And I wrote something similar in one side of a stick. If a stick speaks to you, listen to it. You know, and this is, though the poem under my eyes, I did not know what to reply. Shadowy ruse, sunshine tricker, how could I know better than her if a poem grows wings or roots? But it's all in the eye of the beholder or the writer. It reminds us, I think this piece reminds us that we see everything through our own life filters. And the fact that we share what we see with others not only help, I think it broadens everybody. It allows other people to realize that their view is not the end all and be all, and that's one of the things I really love about poetry and just about art in general. Is you can look at something and this is how someone else sees this, and isn't that wonderful? And doesn't it teach you something?
Yeah, interesting. You're right about Fabrice. He has a lot of classical references a lot of times in his poetry too.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very, very, very interesting writer. And he's got some great comments on the board, including she also liked, the same as you, Bobby, flock of birds in liberty, a smell, a sea, a cry, a key, which was really a great line. Absolutely. And Gray is back, I believe, back in black, or I guess back in gray. He is here.
Yeah.
And across those worlds.
Yes. Well, what did you think, Gray? Did you get to hear this, by the way, or did you miss it?
No, I heard it. You did a wonderful job reading it, Daniel. But, you know, I enjoyed it. You know, it really speaks to poetry being taken as the individual who reading it understands it and takes it to where they need to go with it. So I thought it was just a fantastic statement on poetry and the subject of a poem as well. So well done.
Absolutely. It's a funny thing. I mean, as poets, I've actually tried writing about poetry. It's one of the hardest things I've ever had to write about. I don't know why it's something that's hard for me to actually think about what poetry is. I've tried multiple times and I think he got it, but I've always had trouble with that. All right, cool. We are going to keep on trucking here. And I think, Bobby, we are up to your turn. And this is one by Vakachuk, which I absolutely love that name. And if you give us a read, that would be great.
Yes, I'd love to. I was actually reading this one. It's one of the first ones I commented on, I think. I've been trying to go through and comment as I read the pieces. And this one, I think, I found very intriguing. So this one's called Flying High by Vakachuk. And actually, Vakachuk is a fairly new poet. You look at their page, and they're only 148 pieces in, which for some people, I mean, it's just that's a pittance, you know. But nice to see them joining our contest. So glad to see them. Flying High, 11 years old. Summer, playing baseball, living my future David Justice dreams through shining eyes, as Jimmy's fastball came in a bit high. Swung really hard, contact, straight up. But it was so high, I had never hit a ball that hard before. It almost melted into the sky. Then it came down really fast, right through Mrs. Brooks' glass front door. You never saw a kid scatter so fast. Just me in the batter's box. Already feeling Dad's belt stinging my backside, already counting my change, knowing it wouldn't be anywhere near enough. Ms. Brooks looked out the front door space with bewilderment. "Chuck, what happened to my door?" I answered, "The ball I hit didn't go where I wanted it to." "Well, come on over here so we can talk about it." That was one long walk as I thought about what Ms. Brooks' mom and finally Dad would say. Leaning through the empty door space, I yelled out, "Coming!" Ms. Brooks said from inside. As she came, she said, "Good thing Bob Dorbelstein can replace the door today." "Yes, ma'am." "But you owe me, right?" "Yes, ma'am." "How about you mow my lawn and weed my front flower beds each Saturday until the first rain?" "Thank you, ma'am." Went home praying mightily for an early rain. Nothing was said at home, although Dad was a bit quieter than usual, until I had just about finished dinner, when Dad said, "Heard you broke a door or window today." Me, head hung, barely a whisper, "Yes, sir." "Son, I need you to look at me." I did. "I also heard you already made arrangements to pay your debt." "Son," tears beginning to well at the corners of his eyes, quickly to become streams moistening his cheeks, "I am so proud of you. You can't possibly know how proud." Suddenly, I wanted that moment to last forever. End poem.
That was fantastic. Fantastic read, Bobby. And the author did say, because as I was reading this, I was wondering, wow, is this based on experience? And he said it's a work of fiction. And it was very, very inventive and just so beautiful, and it really captures, I think, what, you know, the heart of being a child. And I think everyone who's grown up with parents has probably all been through those where you're, "I'm going to be in big trouble." But then you have moments with your parents where they're, you know, it doesn't turn out that way, and they're nice to you and kind, and it really kind of affects you. So yeah, what a beautiful story, especially as a work of fiction. I thought this is fantastic, and very poetic. And the picture is another one that's kind of in 3D, where the young boy with a bat just staring up at a crack, and the crack is actually looks like it's part of the. You know, it's more 3D. It's like, I can't tell if it's part of like glass that's in front of it or not, but it really,
yeah.
Is it glass? Okay, it's actual.
Yeah.
So the glass is actually broken, which is amazing. So another kind of 3D picture that he made, which is fantastic. So what a great interpretation. Awesome job. And great read again, Bobby. Thank you. Gray, I would like to start with you if I could.
Sure. This reminds me of a story when I was 18 and I was taking a log building course in Northern Ontario. And I found out that my girlfriend had called and I had been at the bar drinking. And when I got home, I needed a phone because we were in a trailer park. And so we were in an RV and stupid me, I decided I'm going to drive to the little store that they had down at the lake, and I end up backing my truck down a hill into a field, got it stuck, and then I drove the station wagon down to the store, and, you know, in order to get to the phone, the store was closed, so I decided, well, I'm going to get in there, and I got in there, made a mess of everything, and end up backing my station wagon into the camp owner's car, which was parked at the store. And then I woke up the next morning in my clothing thinking, oh, no. And I look up, and there goes the owner and his two sons walking by. So I ran out there and quickly, you know, they're looking at the truck in the field wondering what the heck. And so I ran out and explained what had happened the night before. And, you know, I was forgiven and didn't have to make any reparations. So, but yeah, you know, I owned up to my misdoings, and it went well. So that's what it reminded me of. But you know, you can picture this poor kid and the fear that he's feeling as he's sitting there at dinner with his parents, wondering what's going to happen to him. And you know, it was all good because he had faced up to his mistakes and made reparations for that. So a wonderful job. I ended up carving the owner of that camp. Ended up carving the owner of that camp a chainsaw carving of an owl and giving him that.
Oh, cool. I didn't know you could do that. That's amazing. That was a great story. And I love the nostalgia that we're getting tonight with all these stories. I think that's great that everything's bringing up to mind. That was an awesome story. Although it did not get past me, Gray, that I heard that you were in a bar at 18. Now, I guess a different country than the United States at a different place, but I'm like, wait a second. In a bar at 18? Yeah. I guess legal at 18 to be in a bar at that point, at that place?
Yeah.
No,
here in Canada, it is.
In Louisiana, if you're tall enough to put your money on the bar, you're old enough to drink.
yeah,
I guess, yeah.
No, I looked a little bit rougher than I was.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. Well, where was that when I was 18? It was I was playing bars, but I was playing. I wasn't really in there drinking. So, anyway, excellent. Thank you. Great, great comment. Let's go to Naomi. Yep.
Boy, when I was young, we waited till we were 18 to go into a bar. Aren't you from Canada? Great. Maybe it changes in province. Maybe it's different in other provinces. Maybe it's 21. Is it?
It was 19. 19.
It was 19. Oh, my gracious. So here in Quebec, we push our young people into bars at a young age, I guess. Yeah, but yeah, what a wonderful story this is. You know, I thought it was a personal tale for sure. I thought it was really a personal, something that really happened to him, the way it was so well written. And, you know, it was so heartfelt and, you know, emotional and really tugged, you know, at my heartstrings. It's just so well written to that prompt and such an enjoyable and very touching story of growing up and learning responsibility and, you know, just a wonderful, wonderful tale told.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Amy had said that it's 18 in the UK too. So, I mean, with all the crime and violence and everything in the United States, maybe we should make it 18. Maybe 21 is, you know, maybe that's our problem. Get the kids in the bars earlier and they'll stop causing problems. You know, maybe we get it wrong here. Excellent comment, Naomi. Thank you very much. It was a beautiful little story. I mean, I'm very impressed on how he wrote that. And you did an awesome read, as everybody said. Bobby, what'd you think?
This struck a familiar chord with me. I was, I believe I was an eighth grader, and I was a tomboy. So I was running with a pack of guys, and I was usually the leader. And then one of the guys in my pack pissed me off, and I went chasing after him. And he ran. He ducked into his back, or he ducked into his back, into his kitchen, in the back door. And just as he did that, he opened the storm door as I took a swing at him. And I put my fist right through the storm door. Now, surprisingly, I didn't cut myself, but I put my fist right through his parents' storm door. And his dad was standing there and looking at my hand. I apologized and offered immediately to pay for the damage. And he said He says, well, he said, what were you trying to do? I said, hit your son. He said, well, that's my son's fault. he made Robbie pay for it.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
So, but I could identify with it immediately. That was the only time I ever broke a window. was trying to belt Robbie, and Robbie was just too fast. But I was lucky. I was really lucky. I didn't cut myself. But I love the storytelling because it has a parable like a feel to it, in that he's reminded us of childhood and how these things are going to happen, and all of us have had, you know, at one time or another, you know, broken uncle's typewriter or broken someone's ashtray or broken someone's door or window with a baseball or your fist. And realize that at that moment, that's when you get your dose of what it feels like to be a grown-up, because you realize immediately there are responsibilities attached to then and consequences attached to the action. And here he tells a story of a young man who stepped up to those consequences and owned them immediately. He owned what he did, and when his father approached him, he realized that he had done his father proud. And at that moment, I knew what it was like. My dad was the worst thing my father could say to me was he was disappointed in me. If I'd done something, he said, "I'm really disappointed in you." I would rather he would have hit me. But for my to know my father was proud of something I had done was an incomparable feeling. And as I like his last two lines, I wanted that moment to last forever. To know that you have lived up to and fulfilled your parents' pride in you. His storytelling, culminating in that, is just absolutely stellar.
It is. It's great. It's the same way. I think it's to a lot of kids. I always did not want to disappoint my parents, and my son's the same way. He doesn't want to disappoint. I think the thing the thing he doesn't like the most is when my wife and I are upset. You know, he doesn't like that.
Okay.
Which really upsets me, but sorry, I throw that out there. But no, he doesn't like that. He really hates. He doesn't like that at all. I think that's a sign of a close family. That means that's a sign that you care about each other. You don't want to see people, you know, upset.
But
so
those are the opinions that matter most to you. Those are the opinions
exactly.
that matter most to you. You know, those are the people that you want you want their approval. You want their praise. You want their good. You want their approval. And to have his dad feel that proud of him, you know, it may have been the first time in his life that he felt that kind. It takes him from being a boy to being a young man.
Absolutely. Amy's still on the board. Thanks for staying up with us, Amy. I know it's late for you. So she agreed to everything you said. She was right on the money with you. So excellent. Excellent. All right, we are going to Gray here. I think is your turn for the next one here. If you can read this, by Mohammed Hassan 6692.
Sure. This is called Andrew Scott's Artistic Vision. With a mind full of wonder, Andrew Scott creates a world of beauty and thunder, inspired by the human mind. He tells a tale of emotions that rise like a ship in a gale. His work is a celebration of hope and growth, of perseverance and the power to overcome, with a style that's defined by twists and turns, and a palette that's grayscale with selective red burns. From the experience of emotional growth to the complex psychology of the human soul Andrew Scott explores the light and dark sides of the mind and the feelings that come with its tides. With hand-drawn illustrations on a digital tablet, he creates pieces that are powerful yet delicate, a subgenre of work that breaks the fourth wall and brings subjects to life standing tall. From Afterlife to The Surprise, Andrew Scott's art is full of wonder and prize. It inspires us to look within and be bold and see the beauty in both light and the cold. We should admire the work and be inspired to see the world through a different lens, to be inspired. For Andrew Scott's artistic vision is a masterpiece that will touch our hearts and bring peace. End poem.
Awesome job. Thanks, Gray. And I always get excited when people don't pick a prompt. They pick the artists themselves and write about them, which means that he's, you know, was studying the artist and really kind of looking at all of his works and created something that was just about the artist. That always makes me happy when people do that. It means that they're really getting into them. It seems to be a lot with this. You seem to have a lot of people who are inspired a lot more by the artist. Like, you can see them getting into the a lot of time. You know, we have people writing stories definitely on the painting, but you can just, I think the artist is really expressing himself enough that people are being inspired by him, which is a great thing that we're seeing here tonight. So awesome with that. And I'm going to start with you, Bobby, this time. Captain, what do you think?
I think our poet has done a very fine job of evaluating, giving an homage to Andrew Scott's work. I mean, he's given it a critical eye, and he sees his work is a celebration of hope and growth, of perseverance and the power to overcome, with a style that's defined by twists and turns and a palette that's grayscale with selective red burns. I mean, and he's rhymed through it, which I find a very agile writing. Growth, sides, tide, soul. He's got a good use of alliteration in here too. But from Afterlife to The Surprise, Andrew Scott's art is full of wonder and prize. It inspires us to look within and be bold and to see beauty in both light and the cold. It's so he like you said, he's looked, he's done an overarching view of the inspiration that the artist goes by, and I think this also tells me that he's taken time to read the artist's bio and the artist's thoughts about himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent. Thank you, Bobby. Naomi, what's going through your mind right now?
Well, you know, I rarely write I write for prompts, but I haven't written to a contest for like in months. And you know, this one prompt really captured my attention and brought out took me to, you know, a really crazy place. So yeah, I guess he's right. You know, his artwork does capture your attention and really inspires. So, you know, wonderfully written homage to the artist. And I agree, absolutely.
Yeah, great, Naomi, thank you. And Gray, did a great read. What did you think?
I thought he captured the essence of the artist quite beautifully. It was a descriptive write on the subject of Andrew Scott and his art. So, well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Gray. And while I'm posting the next one, Amy is said her favorite line was to see the beauty in both light and the cold. She really liked that line. I thought that was a really great line as well, too, the different contrasts that the artist does. So thank you, Amy, for that. And now couple of honorable things coming up. I'm hoping that Naomi will honor us with a read, and with that said, Naomi gets the honor of reading one by our friend Afasiana. So if you would read that for us, Naomi, that would be great.
Okay. Inspired by the art of Andrew Scott, proximity obscures patterns, seeing only the barriers of paths tailored to me, overthinking doors that share a destination, neuromap, unique, identity encrypted. In the search for self, collateral damage tumbles, habitats leveled for the view, guilty acts recalls childhood, when a twig and stone beheld twits, hang hopes for home, no matter how low. Generational trauma, clear cuts roots, but artifacts of joy remain, nurturing new growth. Wait for the world we manifest by being the change we wish to see. End poem.
Excellent, excellent read. Naomi, I really appreciate that. Great, were you able to start with you?
Sure. Great read, Naomi. And, you know, I like the poem. It at least captures the essence of being a human being, quite honestly. And, you know, each prompt is captured quite beautifully. Proximity obscures patterns, seeing only the barriers of past, tailored to me, overthinking doors that share a destination, neuromap, unique, identity encrypted. You know, we all have our paths in life, and we all have our obstacles in life, and I thought she brought that to light quite beautifully, so well done, and an excellent read, Naomi.
Thank you, Gray. And I really, you know, I listen to I've been helping out Faziana with the show. I love her comments. I've always listened to her. I really like the way she thinks. She's a librarian, and very very intelligent. And I think her poems are a little almost underrated. We all listen to her comments, but her poetry is really great, very deep. And I like the second stanza of the picture, which is an axe in the ground and a birdcage hanging on the handle of the axe, and she says, in search for self, collateral damage tumbles, habits leveled for the view, guilty acts recalls childhood when a twig and stone beheld tweets, hang hopes for the home, no matter how low, which is really, really interesting. When you are searching for yourself, you know, and I've done that before, I think, many times, and I'm looking for myself, you tend to kind of look backwards a little bit and think about everything that you've done, and that collateral damage can tumble you. And the guilty acts recalls childhood. You can think about the good things, but those bad things can kind of come up, even if you know, we all tend to put them aside, right? When we have our bad things, we get over them and we kind of move on, and you remember the good things more usually. That's a lot of how it works. But when you go back and think about things, you start remembering those bad things that come back to you, and it can be painful, and it can be hard when you are searching for yourself, which is, I think, why a lot of people don't necessarily do that, because it's hard to kind of relive the past. You want to kind of move forward, and so she really did a good job, and Gray encapsulated that, where she combined these things together into one kind of common theme. So I thought that was really great. And she puts down there in the bottom, the first one is searching, the second one is home, and then the third one is waiting, is how she kind of put them together, I thought, which is very, very interesting. So thanks, Faziana, for this great entry. And Naomi, you got to read it. What did you think? She's thinking quietly to herself.
Oh, my gracious. I'm on mute again. And I look too. I looked at the button, at the darn button, and I said, oh, okay, I'm off mute. No, no.
My boggled mind. You have to push it, too. You can't just look at it. It's not, you know.
I was kind of like, doing a mind, trying to get it off mute, I guess. The way she attacked each prompt in a little brevity here, and brought it all together too. Just amazing, you know. Of course, Afasiana, the way she writes is just extraordinary. It's so intelligent, you know. It's so very, very intelligent the way she writes and the words she uses, and the metaphors, and you know, absolutely amazing, her writing every time. And, she really grasped each prompt and just flew with it, I thought. Just, captured it so wonderfully. So amazing job, Afasiana.
Thanks, Naomi. Yeah, she has this, I've seen her do this type of a thing before where she kind of organizes these multiple thoughts into separate poems, but then they come together. So I wouldn't say it's her style because she does other ones, but I've seen her use this style, which I haven't seen many other people do. So almost like a unique little thing that she does do sometimes, which I really enjoy. So excellent. And Captain, what's happening?
She did something similar for our previous contest with Andrea Couch. She picked out four prompts and wove together a lovely story with four of them, because she found common elements in the four prompts that she selected. And you ought to go back to the other contest and look at what she wrote. I think we gave her a prize for it, because she did a great job. And I like the way she does this, and she plugs them in. And this is my idea also of really, really superb, really expert storytelling, because you've taken three disparate images and you've united them with your story, which to me is the mark of a really good writer, a really agile imagination. And my eye was drawn to the last image and last stanza: generational trauma clear cuts roots, but artifacts of joy remain, nurturing new growth. Wait for the world we manifest by being the change we wish to see. And the image of the young boy with the watering can watering a sapling that has a swing tied to the bottom branch, which is draped out onto the ground. Clearly, there's got to be some waiting going on here, which is the title of the piece also. But the positive spin on that last stanza is the affirmative, the affirmation of it is unmistakable. Unmistakable. It basically says, if you want, if you want to be something, you have to do, you have to walk the walk, you have to talk the talk. Wait for the world we manifest by being the change we wish to see. You want to see change, you have to be part of the change. It's very affirmative. It's very forward-leaning, forward-thinking, and I think it's very positive. Usually, Afasiana is, I won't say she's negative, but she's very, I'm trying to think of a positive word. I'm probably sort of way to say jaded or cynical, but she's very realistic. Shall I say that? Is that a good way to describe it?
That's a good way.
Yeah. and sometimes very realistic. but she's done a very, very positive piece here. In the Search for Self, Collateral Damage Tumbles, Habitats Leveled for the View, Guilty Act Recalls Childhood, When a Twig and Stone Beheld Tweets, Hang Hope for Home, No Matter How Low. So again, there's a positive note there. And Neural Map Unique Identify Encrypted. I just and the wonderful image. I mean, to take a fingerprint, the whorls of a fingerprint, and turn it into a maze, and you see that tiny little figure at the entrance, just puzzling at it. Just what wonderful imagination, and she took that. Proximity obscures patterns. Is it a closer? It's like trying, and I've said this to people sometimes, it is trying, sometimes if you're too close to the problem, it's like trying to see the pattern in the wallpaper from an inch and a half away. And and then I think she says, seeing only the barriers of paths tailored to me, overthinking doors that share a destination. So she's got some very, very positive thoughts threaded through this whole thing, and it's really a pretty amazing piece for her. So I've noticed she's writing more to our contest, so I'm feeling very honored that she's spending her ink with us, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Amy said she loved the environmental message, which I did see in this as well. And I do like,
yes,
the line, like Amy did also, which was, wait for the world we manifest by being the change we wish to see.
Yes,
which
yes,
is
yes.
An excellent message.
Yeah, that last stanza is a real, it's dynamite.
Absolutely it is. Cool. All right, we're gonna keep going on here, and I've completely lost track, but I've only read once, so it's gotta be my turn. Yep. So I'm gonna put one up, and I'm gonna read it here.
Okay.
And this is by, where are we here? Hold on, don't tell me, here it is. This is by Dark and Bright. It's called This Old Town. This old place is falling down. It no longer wears its shiny crown. Walking around this broken town, looking at the once building that stood so proud, empty windows, ghost-like, behind the cloud, quietly shouting out, fix me, use me, please, somehow. Miner's pit head, wheels stand out. The train lines rattle no more aloud. Shipyards redundant, empty. There's windmills now standing proud. The youth shout out, where's the jobs? But they have all gone now, just like the industry cogs. Walking down these beaten streets where once belonged and walked 1,000 feet. Graffiti dirty upon the walls like seaweed when the tide recalls. Churches empty, pubs no more. Everyone now shuts their door. There is now the modern way to let our towns now decay away. End poem. I'm not sure which prompt this is for, but at any rate, I really like this, and there is certainly time. I mean, towns have come and gone. This is, I think, describes, you know, how a lot of towns have gone, where, you know, time sometimes can, you know, can sometimes change things. Time will show you, can each town stand the test of time, right? And if there's an industrial town and that industry goes somewhere else or goes, right, it can really, you know, it can change a town, and that happens often, you know, unfortunately. You know, can that town survive? I mean, there's certainly kind of the famous one, which was, what's that town that Michael Smith, or what's his name there? Michael Moore did the, in Michigan, he did a documentary on. It's basically the name of the town, Flint, Michigan,
yeah.
Where the entire town was basically, you know, run by GM, and then GM moved its plants, and the town just kind of went to hell. And I don't think still has recovered from that. But anyway, it was beautiful, very well done, and let's go to Gray and see what he thinks.
Yeah, you know, I once lived in Flint, Michigan, and I could feel that dying town sense of energy from that place even that long ago, 25 years or more. And you know, it, you can feel the town dying around you, you know, the industry has gone and, you know, there's nothing to hold up the economy anymore. So people just live behind shut doors as the world goes on around them, and they fade into the past. A very vivid and descriptive write. So well done.
Cool, cool, excellent. And I'm gonna hold off on some on your comment, Bobby, for a minute because I'm a bad hostess. See, I'm out of practice. I haven't been here for a while. I think I was pronouncing Naomi's name wrong. I feel bad I did that earlier. And now I didn't refresh myself 2 hours ago. We had three more poems come in basically as soon as we started. One of them was Naomi's, and I definitely do not want to miss hers. So let's make
Absolutely.
Sure we end with that. So apologize, Naomi. I did not – once the show started, I did not refresh.
Why you talking
okay.
about
Thank you for reminding us, and I just put your poem up. Yeah, no worries. So, if you can, if you don't mind sharing and reading that, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay. This goes completely elsewhere. Stranger in a dark room, I had tasted the rain, clean and crisp, sweet and refreshing, but this. This was a rainstorm, unpredictable, riddled with surprises, messy and wet, total, relinquished control, striking lightning splintered behind my eyes, sweat and skin, hot, harsh breath against my neck, gritted and raw, thousands of petals on a roseberry bush bursting open, simultaneously piercing my rib cage. My hidden self, an overturned umbrella, water stagnant in its belly, rippling into motion. My old tattered skin stripped away, now clothed in the drenched, slithering odor of unbridled dalliance. The sweetness of warm apple pie à la mode still tingling on the tip of my tongue. As toes sink into soft rolling sand uncovered at low tide, strolling down that shore, finally home. End poem.
That was
Did
a
I
great
borrow
read.
Your
and...
with us? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, this is a great a great read and
wow.
a great way to end it. Yeah, that was
Yeah.
You want a fun place here. Before we get some comments, anything you wanted to say about your poem at all, Naomi?
Well, this took me to a strange place that just the umbrella upside down, my gracious. You know, I had a hard teenage years, like I was with a boyfriend. And, I didn't want to, but, you know, I was kind of forced and I got pregnant. And I had delivered a dead baby. And so it's okay. But I was a long, long years, all my teenage years, like a book rat, you know, a library rat. And, you know, before I ever, you know, engaged in any sexual thing at all or action at all, and you know, when I finally did at the end of my teenage years, after about 6 or 7 years, I was really safe. I was always safe, you know. I was on the safe side. It had to be controlled. It had to be safe. It had to be, you know, like I said, sweet, clean, crisp. And then it wasn't until my late 30s, I think, that I met this, I saw this guy, and it was like static electricity in the air. And wow, it was just amazing. And it really opened up a whole new set of feelings, and unblocked something deep inside of me, you know, this unbridled passion. And, you know, I just let myself go, let myself lose control completely. And, yeah, so this was what the poem was all about.
Wow, really interesting. I'm so sorry you went through what you did when you were younger. But this is, but really very interesting that that poem brought all that up here. You know, it's amazing what art can do, right? What it can, what emotions it can bring to different people. So, wow. All right, let's start the comments with Gray.
Yeah, you know, I liked it. It was beautifully presented, and you did a wonderful job reading it. But, you know, it's deep, it's metaphoric, it's rich in its imagery, and I thought it was the emotions were palpable throughout the write. So well done.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Gray. And then we go to Bobby. And go for it, Bobby.
I want Naomi's brain when she's through with it. Can I borrow it? No, seriously, this girl. I don't think we've had a piece in any of our contests that even equals this. I love where you took this. I'm serious. This is visceral, and I'm glad you wrote that. I'm glad you took that. Whatever feeling it generated in your looking at that prompt, you rode with it like a on a surfboard, and you rode the curl. And I love this. I really do. I mean, it is emotional. It's visceral. It's raw, and it's real. And I love the metaphor. I love the way, and it's subtly sensual, which is a real touch. I mean, that is it is eloquent. It's not easy to do that. It is just like it's like a hint of perfume in the right places. You know, it arouses the senses without being overpowering. And it's just so beautifully done. I love what you did with this. Seriously, I am so glad you wrote this.
Thank you. It just bubbled up.
Oh, he's bubbling on all of our
Please. No, absolutely. And thanks for definitely letting me know. Like I said, we had Bobby and I were talking earlier today, just saying like, wow, we only have 11 writes, we'll come up with plans. What are we going to do? And then we couldn't, even when the show started, we had three writes come in. So there were everyone came in late. So definitely thank you for doing that. So yeah, everybody that we didn't get to, Ben Hart, Lockdown Larks, Cassia F, and Teresa S, as well as Pam Ray and Navarro. So we have all those people. We have a bunch that we'll do next week. I'm sending it to you right now. We'll get to all of yours in 2 weeks. And Bobby, while we have 2 minutes left, if you want to talk about what's coming up.
Here's what we're going to do for the next contest, which will probably come out tomorrow. I started working on it earlier in the week. Let me do a quick. I got to open up. A link here because I closed it, unfortunately. The Dutch Museum. There it is. Thank goodness for memory on Google search. The Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam is the home of the Dutch masters. They have got a kick-ass, once in a lifetime. Be there, be square, cut your throat if you don't go, and I wish to Christ I could go. They have pulled them in from other museums, other countries. They have got a once-in-a-lifetime show of Johannes Vermeer. Vermeer only did 38 pieces. He did 38 pieces. They have got 28 of them in the museum. And the show goes through June. And the advance tickets are already all sold. So what I'm going to do is a celebration to Johannes Vermeer, who is, if you look at Vermeer, there's controversy and there's conversation abounds in the artistic community on Vermeer's work, because some people think, because of the precision of his work, they think he used camera obscura. There's actually a documentary called Tim's Vermeer where a guy actually did camera obscura and taught himself how to paint. I mean, you really want to get into the weeds on this. It's unbelievable. But so what I'm going to do, our next contest is going to be in honor of this exhibit. It's going to be the Dutch master, the inspiration of Johannes Vermeer. So the next contest is going to be Vermeer works, whatever they've got out there. So if you like Vermeer, here's your chance to step up to the plate. So with that, you can look to it being posted probably tomorrow. And with that, I want to thank everybody on the board, in the cheap seats, and Gray, thank you for being our tech rep, and Naomi, thank you so much for calling in. Love it. And Dan,
my pleasure.
Welcome back to the dead.
yeah. Thanks, everybody. Good night. We really appreciate everyone. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you in 2 weeks, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Okay, ciao a tutti.
Thanks,
bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Much love.